Yes, but thank you to the committee that's come here and my fellow presenters. Men did an excellent job, and I'm familiar with the Reason Foundation, and I highly recommend their work. I'm a new member with the John Locke Foundation, originally from New Zealand, as you can tell, and I'm glad to work on this issue in an ongoing manner. But today I want to compliment Len's presentation by just giving a little bit of the context from North Carolina, and I hope motivating you to take up this T3 idea and go with it. So firstly, yeah, so I want to echo Len's point that this T3 alternative or prospect is a bipartisan issue, or nonpartisan issue. Rather, it's just a question of how we can utilize competitive players or entities to be more cost-effective and accurate in our provision of public sector services. And I say it's nonpartisan because, yeah, presumably only insiders who benefit from WAVE are going to be against a lower cost and better quality output. And that's why, particularly, yeah, Len's presentation is so necessary. We need more closing the knowledge gap, more familiarity. He even mentioned advertising to make people feel more at ease with it. Okay. Yeah, so before I get into the realm of what you might want to look at or move into, I want to just address the term public-private partnership. And you'll see in my release, which we're looking at, I use the term P3 or P3s, whatever you want to go with, it's fine by me. But I'll use the term P3. Yeah, the fact is that, to some degree, all government activity is a P3 or a partnership with the public. We want something done, we either hire private individuals directly or we hire a non-governmental entity to do it for us. So there's always a public-private partnership there. So we really face two key questions. Firstly, what activities and properties are legitimately within the role of government? And if they're not, then they're not a question for P3. If they are within the legitimate role of government, how far can we go in terms of delegating that to private or non-governmental entities to carry out those activities? Those are our two questions. And before we address those, I just want to bring our minds back to the context we're working in terms of the fiscal situation. The State Budget Solutions Project has calculated North Carolina's total debt, which includes unfunded liabilities, at $100 billion or $30,000 per private sector employee. Contrary to public perception and limited tax revenues, North Carolina's total state level spending has continued to rise even the past few years. So between 2009 and 2011, it's still increased by 4%. Now, many of you are familiar with this, that even going into this year's fiscal year, we had to, well, legislators had to close it. $2.5 billion fiscal gap. And another problem with maintaining this precarious fiscal position is that we become more and more dependent on federal aid. Currently, federal aid constitutes 33%, or one-third, of the state's revenue. Right. So the P3s offer an excellent tactic or solution to this precarious fiscal position. Even if we weren't in a precarious one, we still want to go for it, but I'd like to particularly import it right now. So where do we start? Yeah, so keep in mind, as I said in the first question, in the case of properties that have neither economic or properties or activities that have neither economic nor constitutional basis, they're not really an issue for P3, they're an issue for actually sale to private entities outright. They're a matter not really of P3 mechanics, but a matter of political will get to release unnecessary assets. So this category, there are many examples. I mean, the state owns parking complexes, for example, and I want to refer to the aquariums just briefly. So we have three aquariums, and these already generate enough revenue to pay for half of their costs, and there's little doubt that under private operation, they would flourish. So it's time to let them go. They've got about $40 million worth of properties and $35 million worth of operational organizational value. But they're just one example, really. The state auditor, Beth Wood, she has noted that North Carolina has approximately 15,000 properties There's just no there's no adequate list of these properties, and the preliminary list that we do have, they do not match. So we don't actually know how many properties we have. We don't have an accurate gauge as that fact. And when we can't even work out how many properties we have, let alone whether they're all adequately insured or what is going on with them, it's time to clean house. So, but yeah, so on the other hand, there are many properties and activities within that that are within the legitimate role of government, and the best example is the, or are the prison and jail systems. And fortunately, we've already sort of made progress in terms of P3s with those. We have, so these cost $1.4 billion a year, and we have three privately run prisons in North Carolina. That's out of a total of 70, so there's a huge room for expansion. And we also have a kind of precarious legal ruling, which means that sheriffs are not able to carry that outsourcing. Right now, the only legal outsourcing is in the prisons and not the jail system. And there is good evidence to suggest, good evidence to indicate that these private prisons pay about 10 or 15% on the cost. And we could get into the quality or the contracting, but that's another question. So yeah, so that would be an easy one to look at. But between the spectrum of this, like the parking complexes and aquariums that could be released to the private sector, and the jails, which we've already sort of made progress with, or prisons, I should say, there's a whole spectrum, and that's why I brought what we have here is the first annual North Carolina Privatization Survey. This gives you an indication as to what the counties are doing. Out of the 100 counties in the state, 44 responded, and they list all their efforts at P3 activity. So you have a ready-to-go list of ideas to look towards. Now, the county willingness testifies that not only are these successful or have been proved successful now, there's also there's a political feasibility study that there's not resistance from the electorate. Lynn also mentioned that the desire for a center of excellence regarding P3s, which I didn't catch in the earlier presentation, but I would say that I'm not averse to that idea of setting up a center of excellence or a specialist unit to promote these, but we don't necessarily need those to promote just direct activities, even if it's absent. So thanks so much for your time, and I'll be glad to take any questions you may have.